Our Father in heaven, how grateful we are. And the truth of that song is penetrating. Father, you're looking deep into my heart. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you my very self. Our Father, as we have gathered to worship you this morning, part of the way we worship you, we understand, is the absorption of your word into our hearts and lives. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for those men and women who have dedicated their lives to serve in the ministry you've called them to. And Lord, as we've watched Pam and Gary go from leaders in the church to leaders on the mission field, I ask your blessing on them this morning, and particularly on Gary as he comes to speak to us. Oh God, give us hearts to listen and hearts to be transformed. We thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Gary, come on up, please.
Got it.
So you're on candid camera, brother.
Oh, I see that.
We're going to be recording, and I'll stop it at the end. So it's yours now.
Lord bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you for this opportunity. John and I go back several years, like he shared before, and we do have a lot of things in common that I remember, and which is great. We're both trying to lose a little weight, same time, and. My goal, like his, is to get my waist back to about 34 and not just 6 inches below where it used to be. And then also we have other things in common, like we have beautiful wives. And we both have the same attitude toward retirement. You know, I've been asked, when are you going to retire? And I go, how could it get any better than this? Why would I want to change it? And John feels the same way. But I do have one thing John doesn't have. Hair.
I just cut mine shorter.
Oh, okay. And there's another thing we have in common, and that is I get very nervous in front of groups. I'm not really good at speaking, you know. I don't know if any of you ever seen the movie Quigley Down Under, but one of them, right near the end, you know, Tom Suggs given this pistol. He said, all right, we're going to duel. And of course he wins the duel, shoots the bad guy, and the bad guy goes, I didn't think you knew how to use a gun. And Quigley says, well, just because I don't, you know, I prefer a rifle doesn't mean I don't know how to use it. That's kind of how I am with preaching. Just because I don't like to do it, once in a while I learn how to do it and use it. And sometimes people even get blessed, but it's only because of God's grace. I'm here. I have three goals to share with you. One, I want to update you on who I am and what the ministry I'm involved in a little bit. Try not to get too dry and boring. And second, I'm hoping that I can touch someone's life here with a renewed heart to meditate on God's word. And third, I want to share with you how you may discover God's will, God's plan in your life. If you haven't figured that out yet, there's just the way God has led me. So with those three things in mind, I'm hoping that I can stay on track because I don't have any notes. In fact, I even left my Bible laying over there on the, but I can't leave the camera. All right. Got my Bible. Don't know if I'll an opportunity to open it yet, but we'll see. Okay. Um, I did my first mission trip to Mexico clear back in 1989 and took a group of young boys down into Mexico, and we had this incredible experience. We were down by Guaymas. It was July, 110 degrees, and but on the water. And what I remember most is the kids, not the kids we were serving, which was really cool, but the kids that I took with that came back and their lives were changed. And I should share with you right off the top that, you know, I've known Chris Lenti since he was 16 years old, and he was in my youth group when I was working up here in Cedar Ridge. And not long ago, he asked Pam, he said, "So does Mr. Chef still cry when he preaches?" Oh, yeah. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try not to, okay?
Too late.
Too late. So I fell in love with doing mission trips and started taking groups down to Mexico. We moved here in 93 and started taking teams from here down to Mexico, working with the different youth pastors. And I remember taking a group of 68 kids from Cedar Ridge Valley to Mexico. And so many of those kids, like Chris, are serving the Lord today. So I could not get enough mission trips. I was going down to whenever I got a chance. And I discovered one thing about missions that I didn't know before, and that is to be a missionary, you did not have to eat monkey brains, or you didn't have to live in the jungle. There are other ways to serve as a missionary. I'm in construction, and so I had an opportunity to go down and help build some houses and some hospitals and wings on churches and take as many teams as we can, and including John and many from this area. And we've blessed so many people with new construction. And 1997, I had a chance to go and to serve all summer alongside the missionaries. And at the end of the summer, I told my wife, I said, "Pam, I think God is calling us to do this full time." And she said, "No." She said, "No, we got kids in high school. It would not be fair for our girls to pull them out of high school, to pull them out of Cedar Ridge, where they were enjoying thriving, and go to Mexico." So we waited. And then in 1999, our youngest daughter graduated from high school in Cedar Ridge, and we were sending her off to Bible school, and I said, "Pam, how about now?" And she said, "Okay." It took a while for us to get to the mission field. We had properties to sell, and we had I had hoped for the opportunity to use some investments I had to live on, and that went away. And God had a different plan. So we ended up having the joy of raising support to go. And then, so in June of 2001, we hit the road. We went into northern Baja, Mexico, and we were there for the summer, and it was a horrible summer. "Okay, God, what do you have in mind for us?" We clashed with the missionaries. We struggled with what was going on there. And So when we left there thinking we are not going to be able to come back to the San Quintin Valley of Mexico to serve. Where do you want us to go, Lord? And we started looking at other organizations that we might be able to serve in. Convinced we were still going to be missionaries. Convinced we were still supposed to be in Mexico. But Mexican medical ministries did not seem to be where we should be. But in September, we arrived back in San Diego at the main office, and they said, you need to come to our annual retreat and meet the rest of the missionaries before you decide to do anything else. So we did, and we went. We had an incredible time. We found all of the missionaries there were a family. They're there to serve, and they're from different walks of life. And so we went back to Colorado. We were still kind of deciding what to do, and we were actually at my son and his wife's church, and they asked us specifically, how do we pray for you? And Pam said, Gary's willing to go anywhere at any time, but I would really like firm confirmation from God. So they prayed for us. And 2 hours later, we got a call from Mexican Medical. The missionaries who were serving in Cabo San Lucas were now going to be the president of Mexican Medical. The president was retiring. And so there was a vacancy in Cabo San Lucas and said, would you like to go to Cabo? I said, yes. Where is it? So it was definitely God's answer. So in January 2002, we went to Cabo San Lucas, and we've been there ever since. So the first 10 years of our ministry, we were doing construction, hosting teams, doing health fairs, bringing teams from Portland, Maine to Canada, to Colorado, all over the United States, coming to Cabo San Lucas to serve, and the ministry was growing. We were planting churches through children's ministries, through health fairs, and Cabo was exploding with 1,500 to 2,000 people a month moving in, and so there was ministries that we could not keep up with. Well, then in 2009, 2010, teams just stopped coming. They just stopped. They said, well, the swine flu is a scare. Nobody wants to go to Mexico because of the swine flu. And then the economy hit and went bad, and churches couldn't afford to send their teams anywhere. And then fear of the cartel and the drug wars going on. And so we went from to no teams coming. And go, okay, Lord, now what do we do? And one thing that had laid on my heart is what teams have done and what people, small mission teams have been doing was, you've heard the old saying, providing fish, providing stuff, helping with building, but not teaching how to fish. And so God had laid that on my heart. Well, Lord, you got me here. What do I do now? Well, then, out of the blue, let's see if I can say this. Okay. A couple years before, we had this friends there in the church in Cabo San Lucas that came to us and said, my father-in-law, mother-in-law, they're elderly, they're visiting, they want to meet a missionary. You're the only missionary we know. Would you just have lunch with them? Okay, so they're like 80 years old or something. And so we had lunch with them, and they wanted to see what we did. So we toured around the barrio areas of Cabo and showed them what ministries we were involved in, and said, okay, goodbye. And so it was a couple years later, he died. And he left money in his will for me. To get further my education. It was a scholarship fund. And so I started working on a master's degree online. And 18 months later, I graduated from Hope International University with a master's degree in leadership training. And the day of graduation, my mentor calls me into the office. And Pam was there, and he said, "Now what are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm not sure. You know, this is a good day, but I'm not sure what God has." And he says, "Well, I have an idea." He said, "We would like you to start a one-year certificate program through Hope International University, teaching pastors and people in Mexico on discipling and leadership, raising up leaders in their church." And I said, "You know, that sounds right up my alley. That's a good idea." And I said, I can raise some money and I can get all these laptops and these students can get online. And all I need to do is meet with them once or twice a month or once a week and make sure that they're on getting in online, getting these classes." And he said, no, you have to teach." I said, "No." Sorry. I didn't see that in the fine print. I wasn't going to teach. But he said, "Well, I could take away all that scholarship money you got." And he was joking, but he was also saying, "This is really what we want you to do." So I said, "Okay, we're going to try this." And then he gave me some good news. He said, "Now you can bring teachers in from wherever as long as they're qualified to help you and teach the courses." And I go, "Awesome. I know all kinds of teachers, gifted, godly men, who would love to come to Cabo for a little vacation with a purpose, you know, come and teach what they love to do and then enjoy Cabo San Lucas, the beaches, the climate." And so we started our first class in Cabo San Lucas with 28 students. Joe Grana, that he agreed to come to the first class to teach. And so he did an incredible job of teaching, and it just started growing. And then I was able to pick up other teachers, godly gifted teachers who loved to come and teach. And then we were invited to go to other parts of Mexico. We went to this town of Outlan, which is like 3.5 hours from Guadalajara, there was a missionary couple there, and he had passed away, but he had built this conference center and never got a chance to use it. So they invited us to come to do conferences or classes, and that grew to 25, 30, 60 students in an area where there was only 500 Christians out of 50,000 people. So the classes kept growing, and then we went to Oaxaca, and then we went to Guadalajara and Puerto Vallarta. And so I've been all over Mexico, and now each course was eight segments, eight courses. And once they completed seven or eight courses, they got this one-year diploma from Hope International University. I think we've graduated over 400 students now. And we're still going. Starting two more areas. And I've lost some teachers, and that's been a struggle for me. I've been needing teachers. And the day I got this email from a friend of mine who it was amazing, saying, I got some money for you. Well, that's cool. And then I said, and by the way, I kind of wrote this little book. I want you to take a look at it. I go, that's cool. It's right on my alley, too. And I said, I gotta call this guy and I gotta talk to him. And he finally returned my call. And I said, John, so good to hear from you. By the way, how'd you like to come to Mexico and teach? He said, oh yeah, I'd like to do that. So I got another teacher coming and he's going to come to Mexico. So you guys have to give him permission and bless him and have, let him come. So that brings us where we are now. You know, we've gone through this COVID stuff. I'm starting classes here in back in 1st of December again. And I'm just excited to be doing what we're doing. I'm committed for another 2 years. So we're going to keep going until God has another plan. So that, but I want to take you back a little bit to when we first going to Mexico and I had to go out and raise funds and I finally got these funds raised and we happened to go visit a missionary friend in Four Corners area, Window Rock. He had been a missionary for 50, 60 years to the Navajos. He brought a team of Navajo Indians to Mexico, which was pretty cool. And so when we stopped there, their son is best friends with my son. And so he said, I'd like you to share a little bit about, you know, in our Bible study. And I said, okay, I can do that. I can share about what we're going to be doing. He goes, no, I want you to preach. No. he says, yeah, I want you to share something from your heart, from the Word of God. Okay, so I went into the bathroom to throw up. I was probably in there 20 minutes. I don't know, seemed like a little while. Pam was wondering where I disappeared to. And God gave me this idea. He said, you can't go wrong if you just quote a few scriptures. They're not going to argue with that. So God put this little Bible story and scripture in my mind. So I'm going to share that with you now. And it started like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And also in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And God said, let us make man in our image. And God blessed them and said, go and be fruitful and multiply. But instead, all men like sheep went astray. And each of us turned to his own way. And the Lord caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. All had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the Word became flesh. And dwelt among us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Believe in me and you will receive eternal life. See, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So then, how should we live? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth. You should meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And finally, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you always. But that's not the end of the story, because Christ died for sin once for all. The just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, not as a result of works. Is a gift of God. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Therefore, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourself a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And do not love the things of the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's of the world. See, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the remotest parts of the world. And I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And remember this, the Lord's loving kindness never ceases. His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That was verses that came to me 20 years ago. Not all of them like that at that time, but that started a road that reminded me of how important it is to memorize scripture. Those are all scriptures that I memorized when I was 20 years old that God used. So I would implore you, memorize any chance you get. And I know it's harder for me than it used to be, but meditating on it, memorizing it, God is going to use the scriptures in your life. You can't go wrong. You can't say anything wrong. You don't need to express an opinion. You just need to express what Word of God says. When I had this first time we went to Mexico, I fell in love with the people. I'd like to share with you my hero in the Bible is Nehemiah. Why Nehemiah? Well, there's a couple of good reasons. One, he became a builder. He's built some walls and did some things, but mostly, just briefly, the story of Nehemiah. And you've heard it, I'm sure, before, and that is that Nehemiah is a cupbearer. He's pretty much a slave, but he's in a kind of a cool place. He's in the palace, and he gets to test the stuff that the king gets to test. So he's, if it's poison, of course, that's a different story. But he had a really good life, and one day a group of people were leaving with a priest, Ezra, and they were given permission to go back to Jerusalem. And so they went back to Jerusalem, and then several months later, Nehemiah had to say goodbye to his brother, Hannah, and several months later, his brother comes back, and he goes, "Oh, man, I got to talk to my brother. I got to see what's going on." And his brother says, "I haven't got any good news. I got bad news. The walls of Jerusalem are down. It's a disgrace. They're not protected. FEMA didn't show up." And Nehemiah went to his knees in prayer. His heart was broken for the people. And God gave him a plan. So he started praying, and he prayed several months. And he was hoping for an opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. But he had to get permission from the king. One day the king says, "Nehemiah, what are you doing? You're kind of down." And Nehemiah, uh-oh. So he quick prayed to God. "God, help me right there." And so he shared his heart, and the king released him to go to Jerusalem. Friends, it would be nice to see the writing on the wall. It would be nice to have a burning bush talk to you. But more than likely, God is going to start talking to you through your compassions. If you don't know what God has for you, start with thinking about who do you have compassion for? Who do you have a desire to serve? The war team. Awesome ministry. The different ministries that are available. If you don't know, start testing. Start looking. Start experimenting with those things that you have a heart for. That's why I'm in Mexico. That's why we're doing what we're doing, is because compassion struck me. Struck me hard. So now I've covered the three. Shared with you our history of our ministry. I shared with you, hopefully, rekindling you a heart for meditating on the Word. And if you do not know what God's plan is for your life or direction, start praying on your knees. And then second, Seek your heart for where you have a compassion. God is going to use you. He's used me, a realtor. How could you get much lower than that? He's even used John. Thank you. Now for the second blessing, the reason I came is I haven't had a good potluck in a long time. God bless you.
It's easy to see why we love them so, isn't it? And their three kids, Marcy and Angie and Jason, are pretty much the same way, just lovely kids, good kids. Let's pray. Oh, Father God in heaven, how good it is when we dwell together in peace and unity. Lord, I ask your richest blessing on Pam and Gary as you've blessed them through the years. So continue, I ask, oh God. And I thank you for allowing this church to be just a small part of their team, that we might participate in all that they do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the spiritual food that we have had to nourish us. And I pray that the physical food we're about to take would do wonders for our body. And help us, Lord, just give us that little reminder in the back of our mind to go back into the other room and check out the war chest. We thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name, great lover of our souls. Amen.